Hello and welcome to Giant Mess, a sloppy sports and entertainment talk show hosted by Giant Mess. That's me, the real cinch, Neil Lynch. I am a New York Giants fan, New York Mets fan, and I love movies, TV, and comedy. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about the New York Metros, their new City Connect uniforms, my thoughts on those, the Francisco Alvarez injury. That's a bummer. What do the Mets do from here? Are the Mets for real? To believe or not to believe? And a very insightful article from Ken Rosenthal. I'll also give my thoughts on an interesting proposal at the Major League Baseball trade deadline for the New York Mets. Very interesting. Very curious. And I know I've... I don't want to tease it too much. So without further ado, let's get it started up in here. Let's talk about the City Connect uniforms for the Metros. The Amazons. I'll start off by saying this. All City Connect uniforms suck. They are all so very bad. I don't understand the campaign. I don't understand the reasoning, the logic. I don't understand it. Now, that was before I read anything about the story behind how they came upon these alternate, City Connect uniforms. And now that I've read it, it doesn't make it any better. It's just like, so the Athletic had an article about the City Connect uniforms, the Mets ones in particular. And so these are some takeaways from that article. Started in 2021, Nike's City Connect series challenges teams to design a new uniform distinct from their usual set that tells a story about its home. The Mets are the 21st team to unveil a City Connect jersey. Okay. So what, Nike's like dictating terms now? Fuck off, Nike. Just screw it. Screw off.
Maybe
the Boston Red Sox one maybe was decent. Maybe. I remember the San Francisco Giants were close to having really nice. Okay. I found this article. Well, this is from ESPN. There was another article from somewhere else that was also ranking it, but okay. At number one, they have the Rockies, and I tend to agree here. I completely forgot about these, but they have, it's like a green and white type palette where the green goes into the white snow caps of the Rockies. They have Colorado across below that, green pants, white belt. And I can't really see the hat, but it looks nice. It doesn't look egregious. The White Sox one, okay, at number two, I get it. I do like that look. South side, very cool. Hat's cool. Kind of got like that White Sox type font on the front that says South Side pinstripes, which I don't know. I once owned a suit that had pinstripes. I didn't like the look of it, but it was super cheap. I don't think I ever wore it. I just, pinstripes, they're tough in a lot of, like they work on the Yankees. I think they work on the Mets, but I don't know that I like the pinstripe look with the South Side. I would just like a clean black top and bottom, or maybe something that's more Chicago, because I don't think pinstripes when I think Chicago. Although wasn't the Mafia big in Chicago, right? And they like to wear pinstripes, so I guess shout out Mafia. The Miami Marlins at number three. I almost want to say the Miami Marlins pays tribute to the Sugar Kings. Their City Connect uniforms are almost like better than their regular uniforms. Cuban AAA team, the Sugar Kings. Yeah. Again, the fucking pinstripes, dude. I would like this. I would like the Miami Marlins City Connect jersey uniform. They didn't have the pinstripes. I don't understand the fucking pinstripes. The level of detail also that Nike puts into this shit is banana land, because it's like no one's going to see that. No one at the game or watching at home is going to see any of these little fucking details you put into the uniform. I just, I hate that. It's like, oh, you need a microscope to see this, like how you are paying tribute to a bridge. I don't know. Ugh. Marlins. They have Marlins at number three. Okay. Yeah. Seattle Mariners. Actually, the Seattle Mariners one, minus the pants. The dark pants are throwing me off. But like that jersey, I would almost put that number one. The jersey and that hat, those are pretty cool. So I think I would put the Mariners at one. Rockies might be two. You know, White Sox and Marlins ditch the pinstripes and maybe we'll talk. The Nationals have the stupidest city connected forms. It's like these cherry blossoms on their fucking jersey and hat. No thanks. Padres, I didn't hate either. I might put Padres three or two. I just like the colors that they went with. Very vibrant, bold, pink, yellow, and mint. So I dig theirs a lot. Almost looks like a, not a sunset, but like the ocean when it's calm, you know, no waves in the San Diego. I do like San Diego's a lot. I think San Diego's cool. Washington can kick rocks. Seattle's one, Rockies two. I might put San Diego two, Rockies three. Rockies, I'm telling you, the top's cool. I just don't know if I can get in line with the bottom. And here's the Boston Red Sox at number seven, you know? Kind of like the powder blue, Columbia blue with the yellow, which is a nice color combination. I dig the font on the front. Boston pays homage to the Boston Marathon, Patriots Day. So yeah, I that's the one that immediately stood out to me. I think that's one of the first ones to actually premiere, and that's why maybe it sticks out to me more. Red Sox are still below. Again, the Rockies might drop to four now. Oh boy, what are we gonna do? Astros, ooh, Space City. See, a lot of these City Connect uniforms, I don't pay attention, dude. I probably should. I probably should live in the present day, and the time is now, and I should probably pay attention, because the Space City, most of these City Connect uniforms, they're about 50 for, we're at number eight, and I'd say four are good, four are bad, or four need work. Number eight is Houston Astros. I have Space City in that cool kind of astronaut NASA Coliseum? Really? No, NASA. NASA in that cool font. So I dig the jersey. Again, the pants, I don't understand. The pants just, ugh. I don't know why I can't get down with, it's very rare you can have the same color top and bottom and have it look good. IMHO. But yeah, I dig that hat and I dig that jersey. The pants, whatever. So Astros, I think I would put the Astros, you know what? I think I go Astros, then Rockies, then Red Sox. Because other than the colors on the Red Sox, I don't know. Rangers, again, ugh, those fucking pants, dude. They got the TX on the hat with the cool calligraphy type font on the hat. And then the TX doubled again on the right titty. And then the number on the left titty. I don't hate it. The uniform reflects the role the Rangers played in bridging the baseball rivalry between Dallas and Fort Worth by bringing a team to Arlington. Also references April 21st. That's when Texas gained their independence. Yeah. This is... Fuck yeah, dude. I forgot about this one, too. Jesus. The Arizona Diamondbacks. You know what? Maybe this City Connect thing isn't so bad after all. I was just like, talk shit about them for so long, and then... I'm coming to realize and coming to learn, they actually put out some decent stuff. Case in point, number 10, they have the Arizona Diamondbacks, which have the serpientes across the chest. Oh, and that cool font. So nice. Gold uniforms. The Sedona red is more of an accent. They have the state flag and a reference to the Phoenix's nickname, Valley of the Sun. So. Man, I almost would put, they're not showing the hat. I forget what the hat looks like. Well, then don't show the hat. Who gives a shit, right? We're not trying to sell merch here, right? That's not the whole fucking point of City Connect. Oh my God, dude. Diamondbacks, City Connect, hat. Thank you. Oh yeah, that's nice. So there's one version that has their usual, the old school Arizona Diamondbacks jersey, the A with the pattern and the thing with the tongue in gold and like a dark midnight blue. They say that's City Connect, but I don't think that's City Connect though. Oh, they have two? Oh, you know what? Damn, all three of these hats look pretty good. I should probably, if when I put the video out, hopefully I can like actually make sure to include these in the video. Cause the hat, like, as an is an S for Serpientes, and it's just a snake, simple as that. And it goes like this. Ooh, it's curling around. And it looks like an S. Oh, mwah. And then the Arizona State flag on the side. Very nice. And then the third one has the A on the side. The A from the first hat, which is on the front, is now on the side. And they have that Valley of the Sun logo. Jesus Christ. You know, if I ever, it won't happen. But if and when I become like a millionaire, billionaire type situation, I'm going to spend so much money on hats. Not even to wear. Just to like show off in the crib. So I personally, Diamondbacks ranked way too low. Fuck, man. I would put them right there with like the Pods, dude. The Padres and the Mariners. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. Serpientes gotta be like top three for me, dog. The Reds, I can't even see this uniform. Oh, I don't know what the hell's going on there. Black and red, pretty baller though. All black. I mean, that's one, like when you're talking about tops and bottoms matching colors, black don't crack. Like black works big time. The C is super interesting on the front of the hat too. And then they have Cincy across the chest, but they did the same thing as the fucking Marlins did, man. They're really selling Ken Griffey Jr. jerseys. God bless you, Cincinnati. The Marlins did this. I believe the Marlins did this where they put like the lettering across the chest as the same color as the uniform. It's like, dude, no one can see that shit. So the C is interesting. The C looks like a logo for an 80s corporation. Next up, they have the Angels at 12. Yeah, I mean, that's cool, I guess. You know, they took a cue from Southern SoCal's beach and surf culture, cream base, angels written in letters across the chest, inspired by surf brands. They got kind of the old Halo logo on the front of the hat there. Meh. Milwaukee Brewers. I mean, this is a tough one. Ugh. It says Brew Crew on the front, and it's like, that would be such an awesome jersey to have. It's just the font blows. And then they have MKE on the hat in weird letters. No thanks. Now the Giants, I don't know what it is about that. Like, who does it in the NBA? I'm going to say the Utah Jazz has a uni like this. Maybe even the Miami Heat, where it like it fades out. I just think that's fucking cool. And that's what the Giants did. But they have this giant, and they have a big fucking G on the left titty that kind of fades out. And it's like, just write it out. But I guess that would look too similar to their usual set. They have the SF looks the same as the usual set. And it's the same, the lettering is the same color as the hat. So I guess I misremembered this one because I am not a fan of these. Other than the colors, I dig the colors and I dig the fade. It's just the, you know, and they have the Golden Gate Bridge on the sleeve there, which I don't mind. It's tough when the bridge is your identity. The Royals. Oh, I don't think I've ever seen these. These premiered like 2 years ago. So they go with the dork blue with the royal blue as the stripes and accents and the numbering. The lettering is kind of dope. That's a hat that I might, if I had the resources and the wherewithal and the budget and the economic smarts, I might lay some cash down on that because that hat is kind of cool. And then they have the same logo from the hat on the jersey with like a little crown. So to describe it, Jesus, kind of looks like a racetrack, but in the form of the letters K and C. So it looks like there's three lanes, you know, three lines per letter, but it looks like lanes on a track, like track and field guy. And then they have this little crown on the sleeve is an R that has the kind of same track lettering with this little crown on it. And the crown is also in where the C stops, is in that little gap. I like the logo. I wonder why they didn't do the crown on the hat too. It looks like they missed it on the hat. They just do it on the titty. It's a cool logo though. I don't know if I'm down with like the navy blue, dark blue with the, I don't know. Pirates one stinks flat out. they got PGH written across the chest. And like weird, I don't even know what kind of lettering that is. Almost like a old school computer graphic lettering. And then it looks like a honeycomb or beehive for the jersey, but it's, you can't see, you have to be so fucking close to it to see it, to like appreciate it. That's what drives me nuts. Checkered pattern that features an asteroid shape associated with the city's steel industry. Cubs one, again, this is similar to like the Royals one or whatever. Wrigleyville across the chest in like okay font. Meh. Braves one, I'm surprised the Braves one is so low because this looks a hell of a lot like the uniforms they used to wear in like the 70s. They got the crown on the sleeve honoring the former home run king. The team used the A on its uniform for the first time while working off existing retro uniforms. I don't know, dude. If we're talking about City Connect, the whole mandate is to make it look different from their usual set and to be completely different from what we've ever seen before, then I guess the Braves one kind of fails the test. That being said, that A is so nice, dude. I know we hate the Braves. Haven't forgot, but damn, that A is cool. So I guess I understand why it's that low, but it's just, it looks a lot, hell of a lot better than a lot of other shit. The Dodgers one is so fucking stupid and bad and awful. I know they're trying to celebrate the 40th anniversary of Fernando Mania, the historic 1981 season by pitcher Fernando Valenzuela. He had the coolest windup where he winds up and he looks toward the heavens and then focuses on the mitt as he goes, drops and drives or tall and fall. I think he was a drop and drive guy. Los Dodgers on the hat and across the chest. It's just so stupid. I'm not saying the Los like Dodgers is stupid. I'm saying it looks dumb. There's got to be a better way that they could have. I don't know. It's just stupid. The Orioles one is super interesting. Kind of a mosaic design lining Baltimore block font across the front, inspired by the Globe Collection and Press at Maryland Institute of College. And well, MICA is what we used to call it, Maryland Institute College of Art. I don't know, man. Went to school in Baltimore. There's a place in my heart for Baltimore. But fucking A, dude. I don't know if I can get behind this. Even the B is like, it just feels lacking. So yeah, those are the 20, you know, from 1 to 20. For them to have Baltimore last is out of control. The Los Dodgers one is dead last by a mile with like the Cubs. So I'd go, all right, you want to talk about official rankings? Let's fucking do this. At number 20. Los Dodgers, be better. You're gonna pay tribute to Fernando Mania and just throw a fucking Los in front of your normal dot? I mean, it's the same. I guess what I'm saying is the City Connect uniforms are supposed to be like pretty significantly different from what they have for what they usually wear. And when you just throw Los in the same font as your typical Dodgers font on the hat, it looks especially stupid. And then you throw it on the uniform. It's like, are you even trying here, guy? So I put them dead last. I put the Cubs at 19 just because it's like, you know, largely navy blue design with light blue accents meant to evoke the Chicago flag. I mean, dude, where is the Chicago flag in this? I know the colors are there, but like the Chicago flag, I have almost bought merchandise with the Chicago flag on it. That's how much I like the Chicago flag. It's right up there with the Arizona flag. How in the world do you not incorporate that into the hat? I mean, I can't see the hat here because they have some guy wearing batting helmet. This is, you know, Cubs.
You didn't get that. You try again?
No, I won't try again, Siri. Okay. All right. Yeah. So I guess the hat is not bad. It's the same C, and the Wrigleyville font is in the same kind of font that they use on the sign out front, and they have the red star from the flag in the C. Okay, I don't hate as much after seeing the hat. The hat was big, so I don't know if I put them at 19. So far, I've got Dodgers locked and loaded at 20. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Oh, man. Ooh. I might go Brew Crew at 19. Pains me. Pains me to say it, because I think that has to put Brew Crew on a friggin' jersey, it's just like automatic money maker back of the Brinks, baby. Instead, no dice. So yeah, I guess I'd put Brew Crew at 19. And then I guess, yeah, oh man, I think I would do Pittsburgh at 18. And then, oh yeah, the Nationals, I forgot about them. Ooh, yeah, I got to change it up. I think I got to change it up. Dodgers 20, Nationals at 19, Brew Crew at 18. That's what we're working with here. Show me what you're working with. So I guess there are more better ones than I thought. I might go, I don't feel like punishing the Braves. So I honestly, oh yeah, these ones. The Pinstripes are blowing me away with the Marlins and the White Sox. So I got to drop them down a lot. I might go, I'll go Marlins at 17, White Sox at 18. And that's because of the Pinstripes. That's literally the only reason. Do better. And then I guess I would, and then I would throw the Cubs at 15. That hat. Oh, I just like that hat. It's nice and clean. Brosif. I might have to drop the Red Sox down. I might go Reds at 15 just because the hat is intriguing, but it does give me the old school like 80s corporation vibes, like World Co. or something like that, Global Co. or, you know, just like that kind of look. So, and the black on the black. Tops and bottoms look good, but the black lettering and numbering on the black jersey, no thanks. So Reds 15, even though those colors are nice, I got to go Giants at 14, I think. You know, I like the fade, I like the colors, but it's like, it just doesn't, the one big G just doesn't do it for me. I got Giants at 14. Do I go Pirates at 13? The only reason I have Pirates at 13 is that honeycomb structure, but the honeycomb structure needs to stand out more, I feel like. Maybe it's a little too subtle. Ooh, baby. I want to get with you, take a picture. So, yeah, I guess I'll put him at 13. Because I do appreciate, I mean, that lettering across the front stinks. But that hat, it's like when people come up close, they'll be like, ooh. But from far away, they'll be like, okay. So, that's why I'm at 13. I might have to go Cubs at 12. Oh, Jesus, I forgot about the Orioles. Yikes. I mean, all things considered, fuck it. Orioles at 12. I know they have them dead last, but it's like, and maybe it's I'm being a homer and I'm biased, but like, it could be worse. The B is not that bad. Baltimore, it's just, it does feel a little basic, but I do like the accents, the mosaic type thing, where it looks like a rainbow vomited on a unicorn. I dig it. Yeah, so I might go Orioles 12. You know what? That's a lie. I can't do Orioles at 12. yeah, I think I do have to put them. Ooh, maybe not. Maybe not. I don't know. I can see people buying that and wearing it. So I that's too much hate for Baltimore, in my opinion. So I got them at 12. And then I think you do have to go Cubs at 11. Yeah, I think I would go Cubs at 11. And it's just like, I don't know. It just feels it's too blah. I don't know. The hat is cool, though. I would get the hat. So I got Cubs 11. I might do, that Royals logo is so cool. The Rangers logo is so cool. But that might have to, yeah, I might have to do, yeah. Yeah. So I'll go Rangers 10 with the TX. And then I'm going to go Royals at 9 because that logo is just, I can't get over that logo. So it's, I love it a lot. I guess I go Angels 8, which is kind of blowing my mind. Only because everything goes well together. Like that, it just, it's a good look. Kind of retro. The cream with the red. I mean, like it's just not offensive to me, you know? The Royals blue, dark blue on dark blue is like, come on, guy. And then the Rangers with the white jerseys and the black pants and the, I don't know. It's like the logo is cool, but like the color scheme is just, like, it needs to be better. And this is where it gets the crunch time. I guess I go Red Sox at 7. I don't mind that at all. And then this is where it gets interesting, dude. Because what did I have? Oh, man. Do I go Astros 6? There's D-backs 2? Because then we have 3 more teams left. So Padres are up there. Mariners, I might have to go Mariners 3, Rockies 4, and then who's the number 5? Who's the number 5? Space Astros. No, I already got them.
Yeah, I'm missing one. Son of a bitch.
Oh, the Braves. Well, I don't have the Braves that far. Ah, shit.
Fucked it up.
Yeah, Braves, I would put right below the Angels. So now we're looking at Braves 8, Angels 7, Sox, Red Sox 6, Astros 5, just because I love Space City on the jersey, and it's got the great font. Rockies 4, that's all only because of the green pants, I think. Mariners 3, just because I love that hat. It's like the King Trident. Like, it forms an M at the bottom, but it's a trident. Oh, fucking A, that shirt. And also the font on the front. Great combo. And then it's a toss-up between the Diamondbacks, a.k.a. the Serpientes, and the San Diego Padres. Fuck it. I'm going to go, yeah, I'll go D-backs 2, Padres 1. Padres 1A, D-backs 1B. Wow. So that went way off course. Didn't know I was going to rank City Connect uniforms. But here we are. Anyway, this is the story of how the Mets came to the, these were revealed on Friday or last Friday, I don't know, recently. And so this is the story behind the thought process behind the design and what they landed on and why. So Andy Goldberg is the Mets executive vice president and chief marketing officer. So he speaks mostly with this other guy. I don't remember his name. But Goldberg estimated the Mets and Nike went through 25 or 30 designs before landing on the one unveiled Friday. My God. After seeing what was unveiled, can we see the other ones real quick? All 25 or 30? Can we just see them really quick? I would fucking love to see those other versions. I don't know why the Mets wouldn't do that. It creates extra engagement. Yes, you're kind of undermining your chief marketing officer, but at the same time, it's also a marketing ploy where it's like, here are the other designs, fans vote. Did the fans even get to fucking vote on this? That's what I don't get about it, is like the fans are the ones who are going to buy the merch. They're the ones who spend the money. Let them decide what they want to spend their money on. Put up the 25 or 30 designs on the website. Have people vote on it for almost an entire year if you need to. I don't know. Get the word out. Get them voting all season. Apparently, the Yankees are one of two teams that will not participate in the program. No clue why. But I got to tell you, these Mets City Connect uniforms have Yankee vibes. Big time. The pinstripes, the dark-ish colors. Goldberg said they wanted to narrow in on that idea of connection and the experiences that bind everyone in New York together in the uniform that manifests largely in transportation. Jesus fucking Christ. They use the purple from the 7 line. It's like, okay, that's kind of cool. I dig that. Purple, nice. But then you put it against this like very blah, gray, black, like what they say in this article, asphalt color. And it's just that. It's just, no thanks. Everyone, and most of the feedback that I saw from people I follow or get suggested to me on Twitter, AKA X, were like, yeah, I actually really like these. These are looking really great. I was just like, no shot and shit. Am I going to put down my hard earned money on that stuff? No way. And we got to look at this for the next 2 seasons. So this season, 2025, 2026, the 3-year cycle that you have to wear, which why 3-year cycle? Who knows? Like I said, the color of the jersey is dark gray with black speckles, asphalt. The purple from the 7 line is the primary accent color. Sleeve patch is designed as an old school subway token. Pinstripes are made out of diamonds and circles representing the express and local trains. Again, if you look at this fucking uniform, you have to take out a goddamn magnifying glass to see that shit. I hate that all these little attention details that these designers put into shit that no one will ever fucking see. No one on TV, in person, from a distance. Blech. The Queensboro Bridge appears on the hat and his distinctive steel lattice work is cross-sectioned on the sleeves and down the pant legs. All right, dude. I guess. And I know this is fucked up considering like what I'm saying, considering like the Mets logo is literally just a silhouette of the city. And the Queensboro Bridge, but they didn't want to go with Queens because they felt like they didn't want to alienate anyone from outside of Queens, which, okay, I get it. I would not be offended as a Jerseyite. But yeah, I just, not good. I don't like it at all. And in fact, I would go so far as to say I hate it big time. And I cannot believe that people are behind it. And the story behind it doesn't really, that doesn't like sway my decision at all. So I will, it's a hard pass on the City Connect jerseys. They will wear the City Connect jerseys for Saturday home games, starting with the Cardinals, starting with the Cardinals game. So I'm just not looking forward to that. It's going to just be gross. The Barf City. Yeah, so that's the City Connect uniforms. Francisco Alvarez tore a ligament in his thumb, and it will require surgery, and he will miss 6 to 8 weeks. You know, last episode, I was talking about how, like, we just got to stay healthy. Like, no major injuries. And I think we're a playoff team. And then lo and behold, Alvarez tears a ligament in his thumb. I remember seeing him dive headfirst on a stolen base attempt. And they showed it in slow-mo. And it's like his fingers bending the wrong way. His hands bending the wrong way. And he like wasn't holding his hand that time. But then on like a swing, the next time he's holding his hand. I mean, he's been holding that hand a bunch of times. It felt like he like catching the ball, you know, just catching the ball, you know, from the pitcher, you know, it just seemed like he heard it. And it reminds me of when I was a catcher. Mm-hmm, that's right. And I don't know what happened, but I always, my buddy, one of my best friends who was a groomsman in my wedding was a pitcher and I was a catcher. Hey-o. Yeah, I would catch and somehow he would always hit my thumb. And it would bend backwards and hurt like a motherfucker. Did I have a torn ligament? Some are saying. So that's a big blow. Now we have Omar Narvaez stepping in. Tomas Nito coming in emergency style. Like got the call, made the plane, made the flight, took the cab, catching. Like that is one dedicated dude. And so... not a lot of offensive fire. Like Narvaez is just a shell of himself. And Nito defensively, I guess, is better than Narvaez. I don't know. I don't know what Narvaez's appeal is anymore. Like they put up a graphic, and this is even before Alvarez got hurt. A Mets catcher has not thrown out anyone stealing this year. There was like 27 or 28 stolen base attempts, zero caught stealing. Jesus. And you know, we mentioned this with the new rules with like the pitch clock and you can only throw over three times. Like it just severely, significantly works against the catchers, but to not throw out one guy, it's a little rough. So yeah, catcher's an issue. I mean, you don't obviously don't want to make any drastic moves. And up until the last two games, it looked like the offense didn't really suffer from his loss. But then, you know, shit happens and it's like, we could really use Alvarez right now. Not to mention that Brett Beatty was dinged up with like a hamstring injury or something. So it's like the two guys that were so hot began the season and then not only have they cooled off, they're just like shelved. It's just like, what a world. Look at this past week in Mets baseball. The team has won 12 of the past now 18 games. They were 12 of their last 16. One of the hottest teams, if not the hottest team in Major League Baseball, won five consecutive series against really quality teams. Since the Mets arrived in Cincinnati on April 5th, a Friday, they own a top five offense in baseball, led the majors in on-base percentage, and fourth in batting average on balls in play, which I guess is a major difference from last year. And so that's why the article that we're going to get to from Ken Rosenthal was talking about how batting average on balls in play is at the similar level as it was in 2022. So it dipped significantly in 2023, even though we were getting on base. We just weren't, you know, driving in runs. So that's a good sign. That makes me think, okay, we got a shot here. Mets starters, you know, have contributed to a low, fairly low team ERA, and are pitching well, quote unquote, but they have just four starts of at least six innings all season. And there's just five starts all season in which they've allowed more than three runs. So, you know, they're not allowing a ton of runs, but it's like a huge, huge high pitch count, you know, like that Buto against the Dodgers was just like, he was at like 80 some odd pitches in the third inning or fourth inning. I was just like, holy shit. It's like every count went to 3-2. That Dodgers series was nuts. You know, I mean, like, it seemed like the Dodgers had the bases loaded every freaking inning, but luckily they stink with runners in scoring position. You know, it's crazy because you see Ohtani's stats where he's like over 440 batting average with no one on base, and then it declines with, you know, a runner on first, declines a 2-something, and then, you know, runners in scoring position is like 1-something. It's like, damn. You know, and the 1-6 for the Dodgers hitting well, but then your 7, 8, 9 are not. So your 4, 5, 6 on board, then you have the 7, 8, 9s that are not doing anything. And then if you get the 1, 2, 3s on board, the 4, 5, 6s with the runners in scoring position, they're not doing their job either. So, and that's a stacked team, man. I mean, I was all but handing them the trophy before the season started. I was like, I don't even know how you compete with this fucking shit. Teoscar Hernandez, Shohei Ohtani, like, it just, what? And then we took it to them. So we did get blown out 10-0 on Sunday, which was unfortunate. But, you know, I like the way we finished off the Pirates series with an exclamation point. And, you know, they're on right now. But I guess they did not look well against the Giants last night out in San Fran, which you're not supposed to say San Fran. But yet I just said it twice. San Francisco. So 5-2 loss against the Giants last night. And apparently it was thanks to Jose Quintana's control problems, which that's the thing with a lot of these pitchers. They're just, the command is not there. Luis Severino has bounced back pretty nicely, but yeah, and they're down 3-0 in the top of the sixth. Yikes. I don't know that we have much luck in San Francisco anyway, other than the 2000 NLDS? CS. So Severino, yeah, I guess he's going tonight against Logan Webb. Severino's 2-1 with a 2.14 ERA after that initial kind of rough start has really ironed things out. And so then after the Giants, we have the Cardinals, where we have Buto, sub-2 ERA, Adrian Hauser, who's now 0-2 with a 7.45 ERA or something like that. That's one pitcher that has kind of flown under the radar in terms of like getting criticism or even any kind of talk about. It's like, what's up with Hauser? So the Cardinals are not in a tailspin, but they're not exactly hot. Some would say they're slumping. So Ken Rosenthal had this article, Reasons to Believe, Reasons Not to Believe in the New York Mets going down for the rest of the season. One of the reasons to believe is Starling Marte. And it's hard to argue with that, you know, with a fully healthy Starling Marte in 2022. I mean, he was kind of the headlight, right? And then he was dealing with injuries, nagging injuries. I mean, like, that's one of the reasons that we did not win in the playoffs in 2022 is because Starling Marte was gutting through a lot of injuries. But when he was healthy for the majority of that season, producing and performing well. Same is happening this year where he looks like he's healthy again. And so he's able to drive the ball, steal bases, and be a difference maker. He was elevated to the second spot in the lineup on April 9th and has hit 3 home runs with an 824 OPS since. So I like him in that spot now because I think he was way further down before and he just hit a gapper. Yeah, so when Marte goes, the Mets go typically. The bullpen, you know, the starters faring well, right? Like, just not going very deep. But the bullpen has been amazing, you know, considering that our starters are not going very deep into games at all. We're lucky to get them through the fifth or into the fifth. The bullpen as a whole has entered Sunday with the league's second lowest opponent's OPS. And Brooks Raley, who had only allowed 5 base runners in 7 innings, went on the injured list Sunday with elbow inflammation, which sucks. But Reed Garrett has been a revelation. Reed Garrett is, it's nice to have him in the mix. Kind of just the unexpected boost and boom for this ball club. And then there's DJ Stewart. You know, we're constantly talking about the DH slot, and like, we can't just go into the season with, you know, what we have in terms of our DHs. And I gotta say, and that's a large reason why we went out and got JD Martinez, who I guess might make his debut later on the week. I guess there wasn't a lot of faith and confidence in DJ Stewart, and he got off to a really rocky start, 0-for-12, but since then has been, you know, crushing and smoking the ball. I mean, that one game in LA, it was just like you couldn't get him out. So those are the reasons to believe. I don't have the reasons not to believe, because we got to believe. Why would you even consider not believing, you know? All right. And then I'll finish out Mets talk by saying this. There was it might have been in that Ken Rosenthal article, but an interesting proposal, a Mets trade at the trade deadline that I don't hate, even though despite my very illustrious history of shitting on this move, I kind of dig it if this is able to go through. If the Astros fail to rebound from their 7-16 start, woof, maybe the Mets could get Justin Verlander back. And you might say, Neil, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? You hated that move, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, but here's why I like the move. We're already paying nearly 3/4 of his $43.3 million salary. So it's like, we're already paying for him. We might as well get some use out of him, you know? And the ability to flip him for prospects last year was cool. You know, what would we have to give up in return to Houston? I don't know. But that would be not only funny and humorous, but it could also be a nice little bump going down the stretch. Because despite what happened with, Verlander had a rough first half of the season pre-trade deadline. But the Metros got off to a very bad start and then was kind of settling down towards the trade deadline. Post-trade deadline, he was pretty solid lockdown, I believe. So as much as I didn't like the move signing him, trading back for him is kind of funny, and we're already paying for him, so why not? So that's the Mets. That's all I got. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. So grateful for your ears and your eyes. I promise when I harvest them, they're going to go top dollar. Next episode, we're looking at probably a draft reaction to the Giants. It's probably going to be, I can't see us. I have confidence that it's going to be a good reaction to what we our haul. We might mix in a little Mets talk. I would like to, that'll be on next week. The next episode might be focused on Fallout. I just finished Fallout on Amazon Prime Video, so I'll give my thoughts on that. And then I would like to talk a little bit about X-Men 97. I gave my initial reaction to episode 1. I was completely out of it. So I didn't give a lot of coherent, logical thought on it. But now that I've seen the whole series, God damn, it's good. And now I need to go back and watch. I've forgotten, you know, there were 5 or 6 seasons prior to this in the early to mid 90s. And so it's like, damn, I gotta cycle back through that, because I'm fiending. And the Deadpool versus Wolverine official trailer just hit. I don't wanna wait for our lives to be over. I mean, I need to see it ASAP. I don't know how to get an advanced screening. I don't know how to get IMAX, but it needs to happen. So that's it. Lots of good stuff on the horizon. And that's all I got. So thank you. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I know they're just words, and I know actions speak louder than words, more so than other people. All right, that's enough. Adios, muchachos.